He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys. And
it is indeed. And for this week, I am going to discuss the electric car revolution, which is all what I'm is about all I'm reading about in many of the automotive mags. Although there seems to be some rationale coming out of some corners that it may not all happen as fast as Jay and I have been seeing it or discussing it and reading about it as we go forward. As I sit for my broadcast or my base this week, I am looking out at a parking lot of cars, which includes two Jeep Cherokees, one Subaru Forester, one Volvo 60, a Maserati SUV, a Porsche Cayenne, a Tesla Model Y, a Ford F-150 two-door pickup with an 8-foot bed, an A8 Audi, and amongst that for this list is that there's one electric car in that whole batch. Around where I am this week, there are quite a few Teslas roaming the streets, as they are everywhere in the country, I think, and that's great for Tesla. I have yet to see, I think I've seen maybe one Audi e-tron, SUV version, but not much else in the non-Tesla electric vehicle segment. I think I saw a Bolt, which is all electric, but in general, we're still fossil-fueled powered vehicles roaming around this part of Massachusetts, which is south coastal part of the state.
Not everybody bought new cars this past year. So that
that's true. Coming towards 2024, the big vehicle that everybody's all excited about, Jay is included and I'm included, is, of course, the 2024 GMC Hummer EV SUV version. A pickup truck is coming out a year earlier, electric. But that Hummer is going to be, the SUV version is going to be only for people who can afford cars $90,000 and up, or vehicles of this kind, $90,000 and up, probably, at least initially. We still have the issue of what electric cars are going to cost, as the average sale in the country, I think, is tending towards $38,000 as we speak for most fossil fuel vehicles, or maybe all combined. Jay may know better. Nissan is countering the price increase situation by dropping the price of its Leaf by, I think it's $4,000 for the 2022 model year, which is a delightful respite from currently continuously increasing car prices. Jay, you may know the answer to this question, which I'll pose to see if our listeners have any interest in it, and that is, do we know what the difference is in the cost of battery packs for vehicles versus the cost of fossil fuel for, you know, V6s, V8s, 4s, and all that? I was thinking about that earlier before we got on the air here. And
you mean just the battery pack versus the engine in a car?
Yes.
No, I don't know that. We know that, obviously, you know, the price of electric vehicles is still, you know, apples to apples in size and style. Electric vehicles are still more expensive, and we know that the manufacturers have smaller profit margins, and that's why they've been, you know, that's why the mainstream or the legacy manufacturers, if you will, have been reluctant to embrace the whole electrification process. But I think as we go on, those prices are going down, and you know, and someday in the very soon future, they'll be very competitive. So, and I don't think it really matters all that much. Price is one thing. I think you have to look at the overall cost of the vehicle, ownership experience over time. And I think electric vehicles will be less expensive to operate. I know there's still issues, and what do we do with the batteries when they're at the end of their life, and things like that. But there's no stopping this trend, period. And it's going to come fast, and I do think it's going to come not all vehicles, or not even 50% by 2025 or even 2030, but there's going to be more and more. And I do think that regulatory mandates will help that. I mean, we've always had, you know, you and I have had issues over the last 30 years about the EPA dictating MPGs, and it has made for sometimes fleets of you know, economical vehicles, but not very exciting vehicles within a manufacturer's portfolio. But the reality is that, you know, these EPA mandates and other regulatory mandates do help, do dictate the trend of where the industry is going. And
well, if certainly
you look
in fossil fuel
China,
vehicles, you're
Europe,
right.
And the U.S., I mean, all three big blocks are going in the same direction, and that's electrification. So it's coming, period.
Yeah, I would say that, just, again, as a complete civilian, that's totally clear that it is coming. And I always go back to, hey, what if technology is more advanced than we've been led to believe? And my question to both of you is, with that, let's just pretend for 1 second that, you know, we're way that what's being offered is nowhere near what could be what could be available. Meaning, you don't have your charging problems, you don't have anything like that. How fast do you think that regular people would just dump out of their the cars that Robin has in his in the driveway?
I think it's going to go very fast. I think that all of a sudden there's going to be an exponential, you know, acceleration. And I just think it's going to go very fast.
I mean, Robin, what do you think?
Well, I think part of it's going to be a cost situation. You know, we always talk like we're talking about the wealthy people who are buying cars and can buy almost anything that they want, as opposed to those who can't buy new cars and have to rely on used cars.
I have something to bring up on that point, but okay.
Okay, well, just wait. And based on that, I think for a long time there's going to be a lot of fossil fuel cars hanging around, and hopefully for sale new. I talk to people on the street, and it's very interesting listening to people who, I'm sure none of the car panelists that go out and get information from people talk to. And these are working people who are surprisingly, at least they think, knowledgeable about the state of the electric car industry. And I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with a very interesting individual who, Jay, you're going to be interested in this because I'm not sure it was true, but his opinion about Tesla and charging stations came up as a discussion. And aside from the fact he said, until charging stations are not in the mainstream roadways like interstates, you know, he has no interest in buying an electric vehicle because he doesn't drive on interstates. And then he went to tell me what he thought he knew was a story of he didn't know which road it was, Interstate 80 or Route 66, somewhere out in the west, where there was a long pull. I was bringing up the question about whether pickup trucks would ever be electric, electric pickups would ever be available to pull, let's say, these trailer, you know, third hitch cars, trailers that, you know, you'd sleep in on the route when you're in a hilly country. And he brought up this story that he said, yeah, there's a place out on Route 66 or Interstate something or other out west where there's a charging station for Teslas, and there was a friend of his claimed, and I think it was a story, but I don't know, that the Teslas starting up this long hill ran out of juice, you know, 10 miles before they could get to the charging station. That sounds very far-fetched, Jay, and the more I think about it, the more
I think
question its validity, but
not very
until the charging stations are all over the place, And that brings up another question. I think fossil fuel cars are here certainly through 2035.
They may be few and far between from being
able to be purchased new, but I think they're going to last beyond 2035 in the form of used vehicles, which will keep the service industry hopefully happy.
Okay.
So talking about affordable electric vehicles or hybrids, okay, partially electric, whatever you want to call it. Hybrids, yeah, gasoline engine and electric motor. Kelley Blue Book just came out with a list of the 10 best used cars under $15,000. So now we're looking at affordable cars, right?
Yeah.
For people who may not want to or may not afford to buy a $38,000 new car. And not on that list of 10 cars, actually, Robin, you will be happy to know that two of them are cars that you have either owned or still own, because both the Toyota Camry and the Hyundai Sonata were mentioned on that list. And the other cars were the Volkswagen Jetta Hybrid, you know, obviously the Prius, the Prius C, all the cars we actually know, Chevy Volt. And the only pure electric car on that list was actually a 2017 Nissan Leaf.
Right.
And to come back to the pricing of the Nissan, I think Nissan is just in a position where they have to bring the price down on the new Nissan Leaf, because that car, although it is one of the first, if not the first of the currently produced electric cars, it still suffers from a really, really, by today's standard, really ridiculously low range. I think that the range is still just right around 100 miles, which, you know, yes, that would even give me range anxiety. So there are affordable electric or hybrid cars out there. And interestingly, actually, I was speaking with somebody over the weekend who had done some research and was looking for an inexpensive commuter car, and he had read a lot about Chevy Volts, not the current Bolt, but the hybrid that Chevy produced, I think from 2000, maybe 8 or 9 or 2010, until just a few years ago. And you can buy them apparently for dirt cheap, and they are extremely reliable vehicles. So that is one way to go. And it flies under the radar. You will see very few Chevy Volts on the road, but apparently that seems to be a smart buy.
Those who own them love them. I think I said this on an earlier version of this show maybe a few years back, that there's a local person in Sharon who has a new Volt, but he had an older Volt, and his biggest problem was actually, because he didn't drive very far in it, using any gas at all week after week, to the point that the gas gets old inside the car. And you want to use it before it becomes whatever old gas becomes. And it's sort of, you laugh at that kind of thing. But he is a contractor, and it was his vehicle that he went around to all his job sites and would check things out. And he just never drove more than 40 miles a day, which allowed him to recharge the Volt at home, because it was a plug-in as well. And he just never used any gas. But I think you're right. I think the Volt would be an ideal car to find in the used car department if they could find it. And as you said, you were looking at cars under $15,000. It's amazing how the hybrid vehicles lost value, yet they offer such good performance from the standpoint of electric use and miles against the low cost that you can get them for.
Without knowing,
the used Priuses are a great bargain for anybody that can't afford a new vehicle.
Correct. But you know, again, my hunch would just be, you know, we've heard about 100,000 mile factory warranties on batteries. So I think, if anything, in the used market for these vehicles, the battery life becomes an issue for people who are on a budget and buying, let's say, a Prius with, you know, close to 100,000 miles on it. And the question is, will it go? How many miles will it go on that battery? And honestly, I don't have the answer to that. And I certainly don't mean to be bashing Toyota batteries, because I think they're probably amongst the best on the market.
Well, I agree with you, Jay, completely. I only know people who have had Priuses at 135 to 165,000 miles on the original batteries, and they were still running their cars if they hadn't traded them in.
So again, the older
battery warranty was certainly put out there when they first brought these cars forward to try to be sure that you've got a good amount of miles on your vehicle within a warranty period if you were going to drive one of these vehicles a long term before you replaced it. The Hyundai Sonatas, the electrics, and the hybrids are still offering, as far as I know, lifetime battery warranties. I do not know what the actual battery lifetime is, as you also surmise with the Priuses, because I know lots of Priuses are going well over 100,000 miles. I do not know, which is what the point you made was, is what a used Prius with anywhere from 70,000 miles and up, the battery life is going to be. And I do not know whether anything, I don't know whether there's a CPO Prius out there which might have a battery pack having been replaced by anybody, but who knows?
So
I don't know any statistics about that.
If I can interject just something that makes me smile these days, and if you want a really economical vehicle with proven reliability, there's still nothing like a diesel. And by the way, I drive a diesel, as some people know, and I get 700 miles of range, so no anxiety here. And I buy my diesel for $2.99, which is cheaper than any gas I've seen in our tri-state area. So every time I refill my diesel tank, I'm smiling. I love it.
Yeah, the only gas, just for a technical point, is that it's cheaper than your $2.99 diesel, can only be found at the buying clubs, Costco, BJ's, Walmart, Sam's Club, whatever.
Possibly, but the gas stations that I'm, the stations that I'm buying.
You're correct. All the gas stations you go around are all well over $3 a gallon in gasoline. So you're right. And combined with 700-mile range, that makes diesel a wonderful alternative. There are not a lot of diesels left out there, are there? I mean, I do see quite a few VW diesels, TDIs, on the road.
That half a million cars that Volkswagen took off the market, you know, 3-4 years ago, a lot of those cars have made their way back onto the market.
And the newer ones were able to be reset, and you're right, and they were bargains. Plus, they came with excellent extended warranty on them as well. And they are running around, and I think everybody, they are clean diesels. You do not smell the diesel stuff, and you do not see the sooty diesel exhaust coming out of, I would say, if not all of them, 95%+ of them. I'm curious about whether anybody still, is there still biodiesel out there, Jay, that you know of?
I don't know. I really don't know. But one last thing on the diesel topic, and then we can move on. You know, interestingly, Chevy, GM just came out with their, it's been announced for over a year, but they're now available. The Chevy Suburban is available with a diesel. And you are now, you know, you're getting an inline six-cylinder, three-liter turbo diesel.
And the Tahoe, I think, is also available, unless you said that.
Say what?
I think it's available in the Tahoe line of GM.
I forgot to check that. I'm not sure it's available in the shorter, in the Tahoe. But the Suburban with the diesel is only slightly slower than the gas powered
equivalent,
and I think it costs $1,000 more. But I think even in a Suburban, you're getting like 22, 23 miles to the gallon day in, day out.
Right.
And for people who are still looking for humongous SUVs, and are willing to spend $75,000, that is something to reconsider. They had kind of fallen off the face of the planet. But the latest version of the Suburban has, you know, quite comfortable, independent suspension all around. And with a diesel, I think it's a pretty smart vehicle in that very limited, obviously, niche of very big vehicles.
Conversely, Ford is dropping the diesel in the F-150 pickups effective this model year, I believe. They're building out whatever orders they had, but they have decided to drop it because they claim that 80+% of the buyers for their F-150 pickups are buying the supercharged six-cylinder engines over any other engine in the truck. So, you know, who knows what's really going to happen with diesels. As long as they're allowed to be built and sold, Europe's doing a full-court press to try to eliminate diesel vehicles. Are they not?
They are.
As in passenger vehicles?
Diesels. I mean, I think, I know, you know, the newer diesels are much cleaner than they used to be even 5 or 6 years ago. And interestingly, in Europe, some of the, you know, luxury brands have their top-of-the-line performance vehicles are diesels. So anyway,
but I think Europe's putting a full court press to get rid of their emissions regulations are going up way ahead of ours, which would put a big crimp on, I think, diesel sales. You would know better because you've been over there. But I just want to go back to the German vehicles because they have quietly been transitioning towards electric vehicles. I happened to get an A7 Audi loaner a while back. Recently, and in my driving, which was mostly between the dealership down in Watertown, Connecticut, and my home in Sharon, for the time period I had it, had me getting 36 to 38 miles per gallon by the time I reached my destination. It all, they all start out low, because if you reset it to zero, the MPGs, it takes a while to add up. But I found out that the A7 It had a 48-volt, apparently, electric battery boost situation in it, and it had this interesting driver select driving characteristics options between comfort, sport, custom built by the driver, owner, if you wanted to spend the time doing that, and some other option. And it changed the steering characteristics and the feel through the steering wheel. It changed the motor.
So how did you like it?
Yeah, characteristics between the three. But leaving it in normal or in auto or automatic, I was able to get 36 to 38 miles per gallon showing on the average for what was about a 35-mile trip. And that, for a big car, that's a much bigger interior than my Sonata Hybrid is, which gets 40 in the summer, but
yeah,
30
it's
in the winter.
What we refer to as a mild hybrid.
It's a mild hybrid, correct.
The Europeans have a lot of those engines right now, especially in Europe. Mercedes has...
BMW's got it too, I think, as do Audi.
But those European manufacturers, especially the luxury vehicles, Audi, Mercedes... I'm not so sure about BMW and their electrification, but
they're working on it.
Mercedes and Audi are definitely coming out with a number of electric cars. They're just harder to spot because they look more like their gasoline-powered counterparts.
Yeah, the only way I can really do it is you have a valance or whatever you want to call it in the front, where usually you attach the front license plate, which is a solid panel in the grill as opposed to a vented panel in the grill for cooling. And that's the only way I can really spot it at more than, you know, 100 feet away coming at you.
That's a pretty good one. All right, guess what? No time for anything but to say he is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.